We come today to Genesis chapter 10, verse 1. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And to them were sons born after the flood. And those sons are listed here in chapter 10. And we're not going to take the time to read all the names, but instead let's skip down to verse 32. After naming the descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the Bible says in verse 32, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. And the Bible says that they were divided, but only after God forced them to divide, as we will see. We're going to see that in chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And someone might say, well, that's great. Everyone spoke the same language. No, that's not great. It could have been a positive thing, and perhaps there were some positive things about it, but the bad far outweighed the good. And that's because sinful man often takes that which could be used for good and uses it for bad. And it's that way across the board. Food is something that could be used for good. Sinful man makes an idol out of it and becomes a glutton. The car which brings people to church is also sometimes used as a getaway vehicle for a bank robber or who knows. Guns are used for sport and for self-defense, but they are also used to commit murder. And the ability for man to communicate was good, but we will see how man turned it into something bad. It says the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. The people wanted to stick together and build one large city. In order to do that, they migrated as a group away from Mount Ararat, where the Ark had landed, until they found the plain that could accommodate them. 3. And they said one to another, go to, or come, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach to heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Notice how they talk to each other, but there is no mention of them talking to God. They talk with each other because they knew they'd tell each other exactly what they wanted to hear, even though it was morally wrong in the sight of God. They didn't talk to God because they were not interested in truth. They didn't want God's opinion about their tower or their city because they knew that they were rebelling against the will of God. People who are living in willful rebellion against God stay as far away from the Word of God as they possibly can. People who deep down want to do what is right want to hear what God says in the Scriptures. Verse 4. And they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach to heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Well, in chapter 9, verse 1, God told man to multiply and scatter. Here the people say, let's build this tower and this city so that we will not be scattered. So this is willful rebellion against God. How quickly man forgot about the worldwide flood, which stemmed from God's wrath because of this type of rebellion. Why is it that people think they will get away with the sin that no one before them got away with? It makes no sense. But it does reveal that sinners can talk themselves into believing that everything will be okay simply because they want it to be okay. And notice also in verse 4 how they wanted to make a name for themselves. That's another reason they're about to be punished. They were self-centered instead of God-centered. And God wasn't even in the mix. He was completely excluded. And by the way, self-centeredness is a sin. Seeking honor for oneself, seeking fame for oneself, is sin. Proverbs 25:27 says, for men to search their own glory is not glory. In other words, it's not honorable to seek one's own honor. And God also says in Jeremiah chapter 45, and seek you great things for yourself? Seek them not. See, the Bible says that we are to do all things for the glory of God. In other words, do what you do in order to honor God and to exalt Him. Now, if in the process of putting God first, He allows us to be honored, that's fine. We don't have to run away from honor. But the problem with the people in Babel is that they were full of sinful pride. They sought to make a name for themselves. Their focus was wrong because their focus was self. Verse 5. It says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men built. And of course, God could see it just fine from heaven, but I think He is making a statement by saying that He had to come down to see the tower and the city. They've been boasting about their big tower and their huge project and their marvelous city that will make them so famous. And God is saying, that puny thing, that thing you think is so impressive, is so puny in my eyes that I have to come all the way from heaven to the earth in order to see it. That little tinker toy. Nothing we do impresses God. Nothing we do causes God to say, wow. God is impressed by what we are like, not by what we do. God is impressed, at least He is pleased, when we are holy. Maybe we're nothing big in the eyes of the world, but we mean the world to God when we care enough about Him to try to live right and confess when we fail. 6. The Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. The people were united, but not under God. There was an all-powerful central government, a one-world government that didn't have anything to do with God or the Word of God. The people were united in their determination to rebel against God and do things their way. And that, of course, means sin, and that, of course, means misery, and that means slavery. God is going to step in and do something. He will not do the worldwide flood again because of the promise, but he will intervene in order to slow down the spread of evil. 7. Come, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Communication is the key to cooperation. Consequently, if people in a relationship do not communicate well, there's going to be trouble. If criminals don't communicate well, their sinful plans will not prosper. If armies can't communicate, they can't go forward and succeed. And God knows the importance of communication, obviously, so he knows how to disrupt the plans of this unholy unity. He's going to scramble their brains in a way that will affect their ability to speak and to understand. 8. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Psalm 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Babel was doomed to failure because they wouldn't listen to God. They were doomed to failure because they excluded God. They were doomed to failure because they excluded God and they would not submit to his lordship. They had all the talent in the world. They had all the human wisdom in the world. They had all the skill in the world. But they didn't have God, so they were destroyed. You can mark this down. If Jesus Christ isn't the center of a relationship today, or of a home, or of civil government, or workplace, or whatever, then those things are doomed to failure in the long run. When people exclude Jesus, and they exclude the Word of God, they are setting the stage for failure every single time. Verse 9. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. Babel means confusion. Perfect name. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from there did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. They didn't scatter when God told them to scatter. So he scattered them by force. And learn from this that God does not lose. This is God's world. So people will either play by his rules or they will lose. People have a choice. They can cooperate with God and be blessed, or they can rebel and suffer. It's that simple. Notice verse 9 again. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. Confusion. They excluded God, and their society was full of confusion. And that's just a direct result of excluding God. Confusion. People are not capable of ruling this world and running this world and existing in this world in a wise way, in a common sense way, unless they are submitted to the Word of God. God's Word shows us the right way. It gives us the principles and the commands that we need for normalcy in this world, and it's inevitable. When people fall away from the written Word of God and they want to do things their way, they end up doing all sorts of illogical things, confusing things. It just doesn't work. And then you have trouble. Even apart from God's direct judgment, you have trouble as a consequence of sin. And we'll pick it up in verse 10 next time.